Welcome to the DuPage Vineyard Teaching Channel. Thank you for joining us.
I'm really, really excited to get to talk. I'm teaching on hearing God's voice, and more specifically, listening for a God who wants to be heard. This is probably one of my favorite topics that I've ever spoken of, thought of, talked with God about, heard other people teach on. So I'm really, really pumped, and I hope you guys are ready, because I've crammed a lot of stuff into 30 minutes and tried to whittle down and pick the best things, the most helpful things. So we're gonna just go for it. Let me just pray, and then we'll start. So, Father, thank you so much for the fact that you're already here. Lord, we've come to meet with you more than everything else, more than anything else. God, we just want to know you, and we're here not to find out information, but really just to meet with a God who's alive and who loves us. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning, and that in your love you would speak what exactly we need to hear, what you want to communicate with us. Lord, bless me as I try and follow you. Lord, I pray that you would use me to speak your words, to speak your voice. Lord, I pray that anything that I would try and say that's not from you would just come out in mumblings and be absolutely not understandable, and that only your words would penetrate through. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So my dad said last week that my family actually just got back from California. So fun. We stayed at a hotel, and one of the things that we got to do that was super fun was we had a family time of playing Marco Polo. And we found out that Shaloh was absolutely invincible at Marco Polo. Just in case there's people here that don't know what Marco Polo is, it's you have a group of people. It's kind of like tag in a pool. The person who's it can't see. They have to shut their eyes, and they have to try and tag other people. They yell out Marco as loud as they can, and everybody else yells Polo in response. And the person in the middle has to try and follow their voices and tag them. If you get tagged, you're it. Switch places. So that was fun. Shaloa is terrible to play with because you can't get her. She will swim underneath you and around you, and you'll be thrashing around thinking like she's 2 feet away when she's all the way at the other end of the pool. We don't know how she did it. But I came up with a couple techniques of my own that I thought were pretty effective at certain points. One thing that I would do is if I was Marco, I would go and I'd try and like follow their voice. I'd get close, and then when I thought I was close, I'd go under the water, and I'd stick my hands and my legs out as far as I could in either direction and just spin around and try and, like, move everywhere I could and try and, like, tag somebody within any sort of, like, 10-foot radius of where I was standing. I was positive. I don't know what my success rate of that technique was, but I was positive I was going to get somebody and that it was a good idea at the time. My second technique was when I was not Marco and somebody was, like, calling it from the middle, I would go as far as I could away, and I'd go to the edge of the pool, and without, like, quiet enough, but loud enough that I wouldn't get accused of cheating, I would cut my hands and put it over my mouth like this and try and direct my voice outside from the pool so that I sounded like I was farther away than I actually was. So they'd yell Marco, and I'd just be like, Polo, and kind of like direct it out loud enough so that the other guys could hear me say it, so they wouldn't be like, you're not even saying the word. But, you know, it's technique. It's like, it's precision, really. I like to think of it as an art form. But I was thinking about this as I was getting ready for the teaching. This thought popped into my head, and I realized, like, sometimes it kind of feels like we and God are in those two positions of my first technique and my second technique, that we kind of feel when we're trying to hear God, we feel like we're using my first technique, right? Like we are the pursuers. We're trying to hear God's voice, and we're sticking our arms and feet out, and we're like, Jesus, where are you? And we're like spinning around and trying to get just any sort of thing where we can be like, tag, found you. And then we feel like God is on the other end of the pool, the world, the situation, our circumstance, and cupping his hands and using his still small voice that we hear of and going, Polo, Polo. And we're like all the way over there thrashing around. And we get this sense where we feel like God is a God that does not want to be found. He doesn't want to be tagged. And really, if we're honest, he doesn't want to be heard. Just like I didn't want to be heard in Marco Polo, he's kind of like, no, I'm going to make you really work for this one. Like, Polo. And he's just kind of giggling over there using his still small voice. But really, like, that's not who God is. And that's what I want to emphasize, that God is a God who wants to be heard. He wants to be found. I heard one teacher say that he's really bad at hide and seek because he's the dad that plays with his kids that, like, hides. This is not my illustration. This is somebody else's. But he's, like, hiding behind a couch, and he's like, I'm over here! And just kind of, like, flagging him down. And their kids are like, he sucks at this game. What is he doing? He's right there. I can see him. Like, he wants to be found. I didn't make that up, so I can't take credit for that one. But I thought it was good. I want to highlight this thought that I think kind of really, it permeates the way that we think about how God speaks. Whoa.
Hello.
That got really loud. This idea of the still small voice, it comes from, I feel like I just permanently got louder. Oh, well. Hope you like my voice. This idea of the still small voice, it comes from Elijah. A lot of us have probably heard this story, but I'll tell it again. Elijah has this epic showdown with the priests of Baal, okay? And he challenges them. He's like, okay, I prepare a sacrifice, you prepare a sacrifice, and you pray to your God, I pray to my God. Whoever answers with fire from heaven and consumes the whole thing is God. We win, which is good. We win, and they're left being like, okay, our God stinks or is absolutely not real. And so Elijah's at this point of victory, but then the queen is kind of a fierce lady, and she's like, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah didn't like that one bit, and so he books it and takes off, and he ends up finding a cave where he's kind of complaining to God. And he's saying, you know what? I'm the only one left, and you know how we kind of like vent, and he's like, there's nobody who loves me, everybody hates me. And he's given this to God, like, I'm the only person who pursues you, and given him this speech, and it's in that context where he's beginning to hear God's voice. If you could put up that passage, Elijah is in the cave, and this is like God is coming to speak with him. And this is what happens. It says, you can just follow along or listen to my voice or read ahead, which most of you are probably doing. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper, otherwise called the still small voice. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So you can blank that out. But the thing that people tend to, we read this verse and it's like, okay, God doesn't speak in a really loud voice. He only speaks in a very still, small voice. And that's the only way that he communicates. And we've kind of taken that and hello, I haven't looked at this side of the room. I've been focusing on this side of the room because I didn't want to exclude them. And I'm like, I need to talk to everybody in the room. Sorry about that. But we've taken this idea of the still, small voice and we've applied it to every single time that God speaks. And we've dismissed the times in the Bible when God speaks through dreams, through visions, where it says that his voice is like many waters. I don't know if you guys can imagine or if you have stood next to Niagara Falls, but I don't think of Niagara Falls. I'm like, oh yeah, that's totally representative of a still small voice. Like it just, it doesn't click like that. Okay, God's voice is a voice of many waters. When he speaks, it's equated to thunder. And, I mean, he speaks in many different ways besides a whisper. He spoke through a donkey. Okay, that was like, that's in the Bible. Trust me on that one. I don't know the verse, but it's in there. What's the verse, Dad? Do you know? No, I don't remember. But he speaks through a donkey. Just take my word on that one. Okay. Anyways, and I think what ends up happening is this. We focus so hard on God's still small voice that we're leaning in really close, doing our pursuing thing, because sometimes with our thrashing around, we forget that we're the pursued and not the pursuer. God is the one who puts in the effort more than us. We really, like, it's like when a three-year-old comes and tries to help his dad, like, build a shelf or something. He can't really do it, but that's our part. We're like, putting in our effort, and it equates to, like, a three-year-old trying to help his dad. It doesn't really work, but it's like God saying, it's the thought that counts. I just like that you're trying, okay? So we're putting in our effort, not realizing that we're the pursued, not the pursuer, and we're leaning in really, really close, trying to hear God's voice, and he's talking to us, but we're totally dismissing everything that he's sending our way. He's like, hey, I love you. And we're like, no, that wasn't God. That wasn't subtle enough. I heard that one. It has to be smaller, a little bit more subtle. Focus. And you're like, I'm getting so distracted by all these thoughts that are coming into my head. I wish I could just focus on God and what he's saying. And he's like, I'm talking to you. Stop ignoring what I'm saying. And it's like we just throw out what he's actually saying because we're like, no, that couldn't possibly be it. That was, I actually heard that one. That, no. It has to be more subtle than that. Definitely has to be more subtle than that. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but my dad does not go around our house talking to me in a whisper. Like, I imagine, like, what would be if, like, if I'm, like, calling from the kitchen, like, Dad, I'm going to throw in a pizza. Do you want that? And he's like, yeah, totally. Like, what? Like, when I'm at, like, my soccer games or track meets, he's not standing on the sideline encouraging me, be like, Josh, good job. You rock. I just love you. Run. Go. Like, it doesn't work like that. Because you know what? My dad is the dad who wants his child to hear his voice. And it works the same way with God. God is a father to us, and he wants his children to hear his voice. He's deeply invested in that. Like, I want you to imagine with me for a moment. Like, I know we've got a lot of parents in this church, a lot of parents to be, and a lot of people who will eventually want to be parents on one day. So you guys are all pretty much, like, able to do this. If not, imagine somebody that you love. But imagine that person, like your child, really young, standing up here next to me, and I'm a stranger. We've never met before. I don't know you. I don't know your child. And I come along and kind of, you know, just kind of like box you out, slide in from in between you and your child. And I start talking to your child, and I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm your dad. Yeah, just listen to my voice and begin, recognize my voice as your dad's voice. Because, no, this person, don't worry about this person. That's not your parent. I'm your parent. What would you guys do if, to me or some stranger, if they started trying to convince your child that their voice was your voice? I think without fail, every single time that I've asked anybody that question, they kind of take a step back and they're like, I would probably kill you. I would probably beat you down. Just saying. And I mean, like, why do we consider that God's different? Like, if we would be so deeply invested in our child recognizing our voice for our voice, and not having our voice confused with other people's voices, why do we think that God is less invested? Because he's not. Just like we would for our child. I mean, the Bible says that God is a perfect father. He won't give us, you know, like a stone or a snake if we ask for bread and a fish. It says God's a perfect father. God is so invested in his children that he is not going to let us confuse our voice, somebody else's voice, or Satan's voice for his voice. If we would do that for our children, wouldn't God do the same thing? Or are we saying, like, we're a better parent than God would be to his children? I don't think it works that way. God is a God who wants his voice to be heard. He wants us to recognize his voice. So, I mean, the Bible is, it's filled with examples all over the place of God speaking to us, of him saying, like, I want you to hear my voice. For the sake of time, I only selected one. You're welcome. Can we put up the John 10 passage? I just want to read through this because I felt like this section kind of highlighted what I'm talking about. This is the chapter that's God saying, I am the good shepherd. So when it talks about the good shepherd, that's God. Okay, so I'm just going to read the first 5 verses and not the whole chapter because that would take the rest of the time that I have. And I'm sure you guys would appreciate me not doing that. So I'm going to read the first 5 verses and then I'll highlight 2 verses later. But this is Jesus talking. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. That's God. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Just hold it right there. So it says 2 times, I believe, yeah, 2 times in these 5 verses, the sheep hear his voice, he calls his own sheep by name, and the sheep know his voice. And it says another time that they will not listen to the voice of a stranger. So that, I mean, let's go on. Later on in the passage, verse 16, it says it again. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one of the flock and one shepherd. Verse 27, skip ahead. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So, like, the thing that I want us to get here is we do hear God's voice. I know there's a lot of us, me included, that have gone through a long time where we're saying, I do not have the ability to hear God's voice. My mind doesn't function like that. But in here, like, it's a statement of reality. It's not saying, like, if you try really hard, you can grow and you will eventually learn to hear my voice. He said 4 times, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, my sheep hear my voice, my sheep know my voice. Slightly different, same meaning. They will not follow the voice of a stranger. It's a statement of reality. So we're not trying to get God to speak to us. We're not saying, God, I really want to hear your voice. God is already speaking to you every day. Every day, God is speaking to you. Every single moment of every day. This is like the thing that I want to highlight out of the whole thing. If you get anything out of this teaching, remember, God is speaking to you, and we're not, what we're doing is we're trying to recognize it when it happens. When a thought comes, we easily dismiss it because it sounds so much like our imagination that we think, oh, it's just my thought. And God's like, no, that was my thought. Don't take credit for my stuff. Like, that was my good idea that I just gave you there. And we're trying to recognize it because God is speaking to every single one of us. Let's see. I'm doing pretty good on time, actually. So I just want to, the last section here. So God is a God who wants to be heard. A, yeah. God says that we do hear his voice, statement of reality. And we're just trying to recognize it. So how do we recognize it? How do we learn to identify when God is actually speaking to us? I mean, this would not be the Vineyard without a practical application section at the end. So I've thought of a list of 3 things that makes me sound a lot like my dad.
You are just so cool. I just love you.
Oh, Jesus, help me. Holy Spirit is getting me in trouble. Okay, so back on track. Train of thought coming back into the station. All right, so stop laughing after I talk, because then I start laughing, and then you guys start laughing, and this is just escalating. We're never going to get out of here. I'm sorry. Okay, three things. First thing, it's a building block helping us to learn to recognize God's voice, okay? Please. This is probably the most important building block that we can ever, ever set down. The Bible. This is the primary way that God speaks to us. It's something concrete that He gave us. Anytime that God speaks, He will never, ever, 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 ever contradict anything that He wrote in this book. I would probably die if I was reading the Bible just for information. There are some really boring parts in here. I hate genealogies. I really do. Lamentations is not my favorite. Neither is Leviticus. I struggle. Numbers is the struggle as well. But this thing reveals God's personality. It reveals His heart, His thoughts, the way that He thinks. God will very often, if He speaks to us something and we're like, God, give us confirmation, He will use what we've read in here, what we've studied in here, as a tool, and He'll say, oh yeah, you want confirmation that this is in line with my heart? Remember this Bible passage? And then we know this is something that God might say, okay? And then we can act on it from there. This, when we're reading it, I want to challenge you guys to not just think about it as reading for information. Again, I would probably die. And it's boring a lot of times when you just do it like that. But it takes on a new life when we read it and we're searching the pages. Like, I am finding out about God's personality. I'm finding out about who He is, His likes, His dislikes. I'm fully convinced, or 98.27% convinced, that Jesus walked on the water, A, for fun, and B, because He knew He would really scare His disciples. And He thought that would be humorous. That's my personal revelation from Jesus. No, I'm just kidding. That's not in the Bible. sorry. Anyways, so the Bible. Read it. Things will jump off the page for you. Don't feel like you have to get a certain number of chapters or verses done in a sitting. If something sticks out to you, just sit on it for a little bit and be like, God, are You speaking to me through this? And just ask Him it and see if any, just think about it. See if any new understanding comes. A lot of the time, that's God. Very, very simple. That's number one. So number one, Bible. Number 1 through 10 should be Bible. And then number 11 / the next number, number 2. Very simple. Again, just spend time with God alone. Outside of a church setting, just your personal time with God. It's supposed to be a relationship. And you can't really have a relationship unless you're investing in somebody one-on-one. I mean, if you're about to get married, you go on dates. Do you ever go on a date with Jesus? that's a weird thought, but really, spend time alone with God. I keep a journal. When I am alone with God, I write down what I feel like He's saying to me. That's just me. I don't like keeping a journal, but it's been good for me. And what it's done is it's provided a track record of where I can look at it and I can see, okay, this is kind of what God is like. I can see, okay, I felt like He said this, and this came true. He said this came true. And you begin to get a consistency and a scope where you can be like, God is like this. Where you begin to understand and just nail down a concrete example of who He is. And then that gives you faith and understanding as you're trying to hear Him in the future. Yeah? So, Bible, personal time with God. Number 3, I'm going to take a little bit more time explaining, because the biggest way that I know of to learn God's voice and to gain confidence that you're hearing God's voice, is by giving it away to other people. I got to stop messing with this earpiece. Sorry. It's I feel like something's attacking me from the side of my head. The biggest way that I know of to gain confidence in hearing God's voice is by giving it away to other people. Yeah, it's it's scary because it feels like you're jumping the deep end and trial by fire. But I'm gonna hopefully unpack that a little bit. We call this also hearing God's voice for other people. We call that like prophetic prophecy, and I don't want to get this confused because prophecy is defined really loosely a lot of times, and people are like, anything significant that happens that was prophetic. I got a pay raise. There's a rainbow in the sky. My car broke down. That's prophetic. That's not prophetic. That's like just something significant that happened. Prophecy, according to the Bible, you are hearing God's voice and speaking it out for the purpose of encouraging somebody, upbuilding somebody, or comforting somebody. Those three things. I remember when I was younger, and we had this couple that heard God's voice really well. They're amazing people. Ivan and Isabel. Ivan and Isabel. Amazing people. They're staying at our house, and my dad comes into my room, and he's like, Joshua, like, come out here. Ivan and Isabel are gonna prophesy over you. And I was like, no, they're not. Like, I'm not going to let them do that. That's scary. Because I thought that I was going to go out there, and they were going to be like, God told me all these secret sins about you, and just like embarrass me in front of my whole family. I'm like, no, that would suck, and I'm not going to do that. But my dad kind of caught on to that, and he's like, Joshua, you're like, they're not going to do that. That's not what prophecy is. Prophecy is encouraging somebody, upbuilding somebody, or comforting somebody. Those are the guidelines. There's no room for judgment. Jesus took that all on the cross. So just like little guideline thing, when we're hearing God's voice for other people, it is for those three purposes and nothing else. So no reason to be scared of it. and here's the thing. Prophecy, it seems so very much up here. But really all it is, you're just listening to see what God wants to say, and you're speaking it out. And a great way that I've learned, if you want to grow in hearing God's voice for somebody, if you want to grow in the prophetic, remember, God does speak to you. That's already, it's a stated fact, John 10. I already went through that. If you want to grow in prophetic, start encouraging people. Start upbuilding people. Start comforting people just on your own. And be like, just pick somebody, be like, Ian, you are an incredible guitar player. I am so appreciative of the fact that you spend so much time up here as the main electric player in our church. And I mean, you spend so much time and dedication, and you wake up when it's stupid early, and you've had to work long nights. And man, I just see you as somebody who's incredibly dedicated and a blessing to the people around you. And then as you're doing that, you say, okay, God, what would you like to add to what I'm encouraging Ian with here? And as you go, you just start popping. So, like, things just start coming to your mind, and you just go with it. Sometimes we don't know if it's our imagination or not, but a lot of times God can even use our imagination. Imagination is something that God gave us. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Doesn't mean everything that comes to our head is God, but it means that He can use it to speak to us and through us. Okay? So as you're going and encouraging people, just start listening to God and see if He wants to add anything. Practice seeing people with God's eyes. As you're praying for people up on the ministry team or whatever, it just like, as you're praying, be like, you know, if God was standing in my shoes right now, how would He see this person? What would He want to say? What would He want to encourage them with? What would He be doing? How would He be saying that? And then just as you're thinking about it, just start doing whatever it is that's coming to your mind that you think that Jesus would do. That's all. Like, it's really, it's that simple. It's partnering with God for encouragement. Just, a lot of time we have a problem because we think, like, what if it's just my imagination? God's voice can sound like our imagination a lot. A good way to tell if it's God is if it lines up with Scripture. That's a good, you know, little litmus test. But the second thing is, it's okay. It's okay if it sounds like God. It's okay if it sounds like your imagination. It's really great if it sounds like God. Last thing here. In practicing prophecy or hearing God's voice, we're really afraid of getting it wrong. I hate. I've always hated the thought of prophesying to people outside of a church context because I'm scared of getting it wrong. And I'm like, this person's very salvation depends on me getting this work right. And that's not the case at all. In fact, getting it wrong is actually, it's helpful. And I know that's not fair, but think about this. There's absolutely no way that we can lose. Because whether we're wrong or right, we're learning what God's voice sounds like. I was praying about this with God, and I felt like he gave me this picture to kind of explain what it's like. And you can imagine, like, one of those really old-fashioned TV screens that's all static, and you kind of have to, like, tune the dial in to get the picture to show up. It's not like the fancy TVs that we've been privileged with now. Like, I was there for the other ones. Like, these guys have it so easy nowadays. Let me tell you. but it's like this. Whenever we step out and say, hey, I just had this feeling like God was saying this. Does that make sense? He's like, no, that doesn't make sense. Then that's our hand on the dial. And we're like, okay, well, that wasn't it. And you do it again. Oh, okay, that was. That wasn't. That wasn't. That was. That was. That was. That wasn't. And like every single time that we step out, we're tuning that dial. So there's no possible way that we can lose. If the person is encouraged, and if we are bold, it's a victory, no matter what. No matter what. So there's no such thing as a loss. the Bible says prophesy according to your faith. And for the longest time, I'll tell you what I did. I was scared and did not have much faith at all, but I wanted to grow in prophecy. I love hearing God's voice. I think, like, you can't have a dynamic relationship with somebody if you don't talk with them and hear what they're saying. And so here's what I would do. I'd go and I'd find somebody. I'd be like, God, just speak to me something. Antennas up. Like, say something. And I'd be like, okay, all right. And I'd find somebody that I feel like God wanted to talk to. And I'd be like, hey, I don't know if this makes sense or not, but I just really feel like God wants to tell you that he loves you a lot. And that's all I had. That was the extent of it. And it was great because I couldn't miss. I was 100% accuracy for that time. I was on it. Like, prophet of the Lord Most High. It was great. But that's the thing. It was good enough. Okay, the person was encouraged. I stepped out and gave my faith to God, and it was mission accomplished, yeah? Because what happens is we give the little bit that we have, like, okay, prophesy according to my faith, God loves you. That's it. And then God gives us more faith, and we're like, okay, God loves you a lot. And you give that, and he gives you a little bit more faith, and then you just keep on going, and it builds, okay? So there's no possible way that we can lose. No possible way that we can lose. So, I'm going to finish with just a challenge, like recap of the three things. If you want to grow in learning how to recognize God's voice, because we already hear God's voice, he's already speaking to each one of us throughout the day. If you want to grow, one, get rooted in the Bible. Just read it to find out who God is. Not for information, not for scholastics, you can do that too. But read it, take time, find out who God is. Number two, spend personal time with God. It's a relationship. It's not a monologue, okay? It's a two-way street. And then number three, practice giving away to other people. You can't lose. You can't miss, no matter what. Person encouraged, your faith grown, mission accomplished. That's all. So I think, why don't we have we can have the worship team come up. One thing also is, I was talking with God before, and one thing that he said along the lines of, like, a father wants his children to hear his voice, he said, I was like, God, I don't trust my ability to hear your voice, right? Like, I would totally go out and I'd tell this person what I think you're saying, but I don't trust that I'm not getting this wrong. I don't trust my ability to hear your voice. I'm pretty sure, like, that's a lot of people can relate to that. And I felt like he said this back to me. I felt like he said, Jeshua, It's not about trusting your ability to hear my voice. It's trusting my ability to speak loud enough that you can hear. Like, that's it. We're not trusting our ability. We're trusting God's desire for us to be able to hear his voice as the Father. So I think when we're stepping out, when we're practicing, remember that we're not trusting ourselves. We're putting it on God. We're like, God, I'm going to trust you as my Father, that you're going to speak in a way that I can hear you, because I know that you love me. So, yeah, I think as we go into worship, I just want to invite us to be okay with God interrupting us. Just ask him to highlight something, just to speak. And it's really... Don't get too caught up with like trying to listen for a still small voice. Just if a verse sticks out, if an idea comes to mind, or just even an emotion, just sit there for a bit and be like, okay, God, like what are you doing? What does this mean? What does this mean? Just give him the time of day to kind of unpack it a little bit. And let's just be okay with being interrupted.
This has been a DuPage Vineyard Church production.